If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is June 11th, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. This is the What's Up, You Guys podcast. Jimmy Van is out today. Yeah, I think pretty soon maybe we just get John Alba to fill in regularly for him or something like that. Jay Doo says, SRS, you need to demand a raise, especially when your boss can't show up to work. I passed on asking for a raise so we could bring back Andrew Thompson earlier this year. But hopefully, listen, when we get this site migration going, which I'll tell you guys about momentarily, when we get our Facebook and Instagram monetized, I hope, maybe then. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. I am here as long as you guys want to talk. Drop your fruit emojis, drop your iguana emojis. Let me know that you're here, and please chime in the comments afterwards. I'm hopping over there as well, but there's just so much to talk about. We got R-Truth, we got the world title change, Cena, Punk doing the Saudi thing, the WBD situation, Mariah May, now Blake Monroe, Mr. Iguana. There's tons here. As always, this show brought to you by FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business. Not sure what I'm going to post over there yet today, but we have a Select Answers that has details on Mariah May's contract, Dalton Castle and the boys, Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker. We've had a whole lot of stuff. I mean, we posted this weekend saying that Mr. Iguana was going to be doing some more NXT appearances. And would you look at that? He is. You'll love to see it. He is super over. We broke the news of Mariah May's new name and indie match that was like a work shoot work. We had contract news on Danhausen. We have, my gosh, what else? Let's see. Oh, the Banger Bros. Bang Bus story, which has the most likes of like almost anything. Details on the WBD split from AEW. Inspiration. Clarification on their return, all that stuff. But let's get into it. Let's talk about whatever it is that you guys want to talk about. Oh, before that, I want to say we are very aware of the site slowdown and site errors on Fightful.com. So the boring stuff here. When Fightful started in 2016, we were on an already old platform that kind of sucked called Drupal. I tried to get Jimmy to move off of that. I don't know anything about the tech end. I am a talent and a manager for this place, but I tried to get him to move off of it then. I was like, this sucks. Why are we doing this? Let's move to WordPress. Well, Drupal is losing complete support now. Like, it's 9 years in, so we have to migrate to WordPress, and it is going not as smoothly as we had anticipated, but we're hoping to have it done this week. You'll see a little bit of a new look on Fightful, a little bit of shuffling. It'll make it easier for you to access some of our stuff. The podcast section will be updated as well. So bear with us there. Again, if you like this Q&A format, FightfulSelect.com is for you. I do Q&A articles there every day. I've got a Discord where I answer questions and a Q&A. Let's go. Have you heard the plans of Mariah Blake's first program in NXT? I have not, but I have to imagine it involves one of the talent that she sort of interrupted last week. Let's talk about the name as well. Blake Monroe. It is obviously an ode to Marilyn Monroe. And then she had mentioned her niece, Blake, which very sentimental. I don't know why they needed to change it. I'm sure we'll find out. But I even thought Mariah Monroe would have worked out really, really well if you just had to change it. It's like everybody knows who she is. Why are we pretending like they don't? So there has to be some element of that name change that maybe we don't quite get. But Julia, Jordan Grace, they didn't have to change their names. And Jordan Grace is not Trisha Parker's real name. Mariah May is Blake Monroe's name. So that's an interesting story. That's an interesting name change. Now, they had the vignette on NXT, and I saw a lot of people saying Timu, Tony Storm, and Tony Storm ripoff. We're even using it for the clickbait element of this, but I don't think that is the case. I think that more than an actress, she'll be like sort of like a pinup girl type of thing. Maybe some Mariah or some Marilyn. It's going to drive me nuts with all the MMs here and trying to navigate through that. So I think it's more of an inspired look from that. Obviously, they're going to play off of a little bit of what she did. I don't think it's wrong for them to play off of what she did there. But I don't think that it's necessarily a ripoff. Now, listen, if we get in like 2 months in and they're doing all the same stuff, well, okay, maybe. But this seems a lot more Sabrina Carpenter inspired than it does Tony Storm inspired. And there are people saying, have we considered Mariah as such a WWE stan? She demanded a name change. Who would demand? I don't know. To me, it seems like the kind of thing I'd go like, what? That sounds ridiculous. And then it comes out in an interview later on that that's what she did. But I would be shocked. Because if not, what's to keep her? What was keeping her from doing a different name in AEW? You know? So, Nulak City says, SRS, what's up, my guy? How does a multi-billion dollar company not do a simple Google search on the Blake Monroe name? Also, this whole name change is nonsense is trash. Keep the Mariah name. I hate it. It was brought to my attention by In the Weeds. There you go. That you can, or that you can find some adult film work under that name. This has happened before with sorority sisters or whatever that may be. I think there's a burlesque dancer as well. I think pretty quickly they're going to dominate the SEO as it relates to Blake Monroe. As I type it into my Google right now, I'll just put Blake Monroe. And it is like almost all of it already is Mariah May's stuff already. But there is an actor of Beefeaters 2. That one they'll need to try to get that one off there. And Hustler Alley. Not let's make this clear. Not the actress of or actor of Beefeater 1 fame, but Beefeaters 2. I think that within a couple weeks, she will effectively dominate the SEO as it relates to that. Not a big concern there. The only thing missing from Mariah's vignette was a bald stooge in a tux handing her a towel. Again, I didn't see it as that, or they would have done like a trailer or something like that. This was sort of like a newsreel clip story vignette, again, in the vein of what we've seen of Sabrina Carpenter, who is hugely, hugely like, God, what's the word I'm looking for? Inspirational in that regard. I think that's pretty well it. I think it's a Sabrina Carpenter thing. Christian Perez says, Indy Hartwell said on CBV, you can either sell your name to them or create a name for them to own. Unless that was a protocol that was instituted after she was added, like, there have been plenty of people who have left and went out and done things and are able to use their name. Like, Shotzi is able to use Shotzi still. You know what I mean? Like, Ron Killings, that's his name. He's not going to... You cannot keep somebody from using their real name.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
It is... It's her name. You can't prevent her from using it in the future, and that's what a lot of wrestlers tried to get around, like Ultimate Warrior changing his name to Warrior. I believe Ryback changed his name. Andrew Martin changed his name to Test at one point, I believe. I believe so. Did Chyna change her name as well? I think she did. But there were a lot of people that tried to do that and or did do that. But I mean, like, they cannot prevent her from using her own name. Like, you can sell the name and still use it. They cannot legally say, you're not allowed to go out there and call yourself by your real name. Like outside of that. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We would greatly appreciate it. What is this I hear of a voicemail being left? It's all over X. Denise Salcedo plus Blake Monroe's run-in should not be that long. Man, the weirdest people on earth. Denise even messaged me and she's like, I forgot how weird people are to you. So the other day, Denise calls me and I go to call her back. Missed it. She called me back. I missed it. I call her back and I left her a voicemail while I'm on the stair machine. And I was like, I left her a voicemail knowing that she was about to call me right back with like 40 methods of contacting me. And like, she legitimately called me before I could hang up from the voicemail. And she read the transcript while we were on the phone. And she posted it as a joke. And the weirdest people online who do not have friends and do not comprehend friendship were like, oh, man, that's the weirdo. That's weird. Oh, my God. Fucking dorks. The biggest dweebs. Many of which you're seeing getting absolutely dunked on and exposed as being complete dweebs on the X this week, I am just like, yeah, are you all serious? I mean, listen, when I was in Minnesota having dinner with like 10 of my friends, the weirdest people in the world were like, oh my, what do you think they were doing? About all a bunch of people who went outside and had dinner together. The funniest one that I saw was like, oh, I bet they all went and had, they had sex afterward, which was very funny that people were like, those losers, I bet they fuck. All right, man. Like, what can we do? I will say this. Like, how about this one? How about this one? A few years ago, Tony Khan got kind of dunked on because he had posted a thing about there being coordinated chat groups, bots, trolls, all that stuff in relation to anti-AEW stuff. And then this week, it got called out. And people who were participating in those kind of exposed the fact that a lot of those were coordinated. Not a big surprise there, right? As it turns out, the weirdest people on the internet do hang out together in these group chats and actively discuss how to be terrible. He was right. He was right. I don't know about the implying that WWE funded it element of things, but there you go. What else we got here? What's going on with WBD splitting into two groups? Will AEW and Max get affected? So we had a select report that right now WBD sort of in the dark about, I don't want to say in the dark, but it's not going to come into effect for at least another year. AEW has contracts. So they're set. They're good to go there. They are absolutely, you can't just debunk it, or you can't just like kill it. Can't just go away from it like that, like because of this. They have deals that were in place, and Tony Khan obviously was very, very aware of what happened with Time Warner and WCW and all that and how it killed the deal. They're not owned by WBD. Like, this is something that they're going to flesh out throughout the process. AEW already has a thing where their pay-per-views are going to be on Max. When? Who the hell knows? I don't know. But it's not supposed to affect anything as of now. They do have a television partner, and that's going to continue. When I say let's crank, I mean dipping chicken drumsticks into hot honey, wrapping them in bacon. When are we getting New Day Usos rematch? Mania. Oh, you mean rematch mania. That's because there are rumors that Jey Uso might be going back towards a tag team run or something like that. But I didn't hate his world title run and the push towards that as much as a lot of people are, man. I just didn't. I thought that he got massively over, and you put the title on some people like that. I think it's very important to put the title on people like that when they get over to that level. You need to show the audience that or show your talent that when you do that, you are going to be rewarded. And listen, dipping chicken drumsticks into hot honey. I listen, more of a chicken breast guy, like the white meat, but hot honey, A plus. But yeah, I think we'll probably see that rematch for long. Who cashes in first, Seth or Naomi? I think Seth does. And I think we head towards Seth holding that title probably up until about Mania season or something like that. I think there's a lot of good creative you can lean into there where maybe Sammy wins the title and Seth immediately wins it from him. Then you start to see the disintegration of this group. Maybe Bronson Reed's like, don't know. You get the Braun turn. Braun eventually beats Sammy for the title. You're off to the races with a new big star. And then Bronson and Seth can feud out of that as well. That's how I see that one. Naomi, I think Naomi is going to be a complete troll with this briefcase. And I think it's going to be very, very entertaining. I'm excited to see what it is that she does with that. Tony P sends a humper chat and says, good to truth, he got all he wanted out of a new deal and all talent are happy about it. My question is, even with him back and the post-show Triple H comment, are there still talent unhappy with him in the current regime, still untrusting of the higher-ups? It's subsided significantly, but when he made those comments, like all a part of the show, especially about somebody who was as beloved as Truth and that they had, you know, they had a lot of emotions about him leaving, that didn't sit well with a lot of people. I can't say that I've spoken with a ton of people about how they feel about it since then, but at least them coming to me and saying like, this is BS type of thing, that subsided pretty heavily. And, Truth took Ron Killings took the picture with Triple H to kind of show everybody, hey, I'm back. It's all good type of thing. But it was definitely a situation that they were not necessarily keen on, most of the talent. Mr. Straight Fire says, with SummerSlam being two nights, are we finally getting a women main event with the Queen of the Ring getting a shot at SummerSlam? What do you think of two-night SummerSlam? Feel like we'll get a two-night Rumble in a few years. Well, I got no problem with either one of those. The Royal Rumble has always honestly made a little bit more sense for two nights because they've got the two big Rumble matches. But when you're doing five matches a show and you've acquired AAA and you can bring some of their talent over as well, like let's pull up 2021 SummerSlam and see how many matches were on that show. For one night at Allegiant Stadium. There were 11 matches on that show. Now, granted, one of them was a cash-in. One of them was a pre-show match. Alexa Bliss beat Eva in 3 minutes, 50 seconds. RK-Bro went 7 minutes. Drew McIntyre beat Jinder 4 minutes. You're not going to see that. What you'll probably see is 5 matches each night that are actually going to get some time. I'm okay with it because what I'm hoping is it gives them the opportunity and the motivation to flesh out a lot of storylines. That's what I'm expecting. But that remains to be seen. I'll tell you what's not remained to be seen, NordVPN and how useful it is. If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check it out, guys. Again, it is a must-have for wrestling fans. I mean, right now, AAA show, the upcoming pay-per-view, can't watch it in the States. So get that VPN, that NordVPN.com/Fightful. It has been a godsend. Seeing that JBL thinks that WWE post-show press conferences are horrible. He's right. They're pointless. Pointless. Let's go ahead and get some more super chats and humper chats in, my friends. There's plenty of them. Let's talk about them. Sean, can you explain the Saudi flight situation for someone who was out of the space at the time? So I would need to go back and read up on some of my own reporting even. But, man, it was a situation where they were leaving from Saudi Arabia. And the flight basically got held there. There were reports of mechanical issues. Some claimed it was a hostage situation. It was a private charter area and all that stuff. You get there like 2 hours before the flight, and there's a bunch of people that come through there, probably like Vince, Bruce, Triple H, Brock, all those people that might even fly over with Vince and all that stuff. But like they're sitting there for 3-4 hours and they're claiming that to these talent, oh, well, the guy that can pull the plane out has already reached his max hours or anything like that. But there's an awful lot of rumors that Vince McMahon and someone high up in Saudi had a major disagreement or argument, allegedly. And there was a situation in which that basically put the talent allegedly in some danger, and it got worked out later on. But there were some talent who said they were scared. There were some talent who said that they weren't, but like it was downplayed after that by some people. But I spoke to someone recently who claimed that they were going to give me the full story. So we will see. But it was a very unusual situation, and considering the potential of a contentious relationship between Vince McMahon and anybody, but the fact that he was willing to step up and allegedly, go at the person that he was alleged to have gone at was pretty wild. It was a very, very wild situation. And we did a lot of reporting on it literally as it happened. As it happened, like we were providing updates from the plane as people were texting us. It was just an absolute mess. An absolute mess. But the delay basically lasted for hours. There was, there were people claiming there was an issue with the plane. There was a second charter flight that was being put together for some of the top talent that they could make it to SmackDown. Like Hogan, Lesnar, Vince, they left. They got the hell out of there. There were a bunch of people that didn't make SmackDown at all either. And it was messy. Messy. I'll have to go back and like kind of refresh myself on all of it. But it was legitimately, it was a scary situation. That's just kind of that's the long and short of it. With NXT involvement in Evolution, hope they add Soul. Is it Zaruka? Okay. With Liv, Raquel, Bellas, and Kabuki Warriors for the tag titles. Yeah, Sol Ruka and Zarya. I would like that. I would also like Beth Phoenix and Natty, but I don't think that one's going to happen. Nobody backstage, talent, I should say, are like know for sure if Brie is coming in. A lot of them assume it, but they don't know for sure. But I just hope they have something creatively satisfying for the tag team division. And I think that Liv and Raquel defending against the most famous women's tag team ever would be really good. I think that would be a really good one. Info on Nyla Rose and AEW. Is there an underlying tone? I don't know what you mean by the underlying tone. They like her there. I don't know if Nyla is injured or requested time off or anything like that. But Nyla worked, I want to say Vegas 2 months ago, WrestleMania week. Nyla worked the cruise. So even though Nyla has been off AEW TV since, quite frankly, the Rampage era, where she and Harley Cameron teamed up, I haven't heard of an injury. But I would hope that with tag teams being used more, that we get Nyla and Harley back in the fold is what I'm hoping. Mr. Straightfire says, with R-Truth situation resolved with Nick Khan, it seems to me that Nick Khan is actually the good guy who 100% listens to the fans, as he knows it means money. But Triple H is a booker at heart and will book what he wants. Thoughts? It's a little more complex than that. If Triple H believes that somebody will make them a ton of money, it's hard for me to believe that he will just outright ignore it. But then again, they haven't done much. They didn't do much with Truth before then. He was one of the people that was fine with letting Truth go. They haven't done anything with Cross. There's been a lot of people that have gotten over that he hasn't quite used. I would not say Nick Khan is 100% listen to the fans and all that stuff. I mean, listen, a lot of the directives to compete come from those higher ups as opposed to Triple H. And that's like putting shows on at the same time as AEW shows and all that. And like there were things like what led to the MLW lawsuit. It wasn't a Nick Khan thing. It wasn't a Triple H thing either. So it's a lot more complex than just that, because back in the day it was Vince, and whatever Vince said, Vince got. Like, that was it. That kind of age is kind of gone, because the people involved at the higher levels of TKO have a lot more on their plate, like UFC and stuff like that. Mr. Straightfire also, by the way, thank you, Mr. Straightfire, for all these Humper chats. Says, maybe you should do a feature on when talent got worked and explain the payoff. That's actually a good one. I would love for somebody to leave some examples in the chat. But he says, if people see examples and understand what it means to work the talent, they'll stop bugging you. Wait, that will never happen, but still a fun feature. I am absolutely going to do more Fightful Studio features. 100%. 100%. Those have done very well. The R-Truth one, the MJF interview one. I'm going to do an awful lot of stuff from the studio over here as well. But man, listen, it's okay to have a healthy skepticism of media. You should never take everything we say as gospel. Ever. You should always exercise caution, discretion, common sense, all that stuff, and have a healthy doubt of media. But I'd like to think we're pretty good at this. Update on the WWE Noah relationship. Ina Mora seems here to stay. Curious if NXT guys ever show up there in the summer. I think they'll pop up every so often, like whenever it works, like even whenever there's somebody that takes a little bit of time off of TV. I haven't heard of anything recently. The focus has been primarily on the TNA and AAA relationship, but I don't think that the Noah one is over. But with a lot of working parts, I think that they want to make sure that they have their ducks in a row as best I know. But I don't think it's over. And I'm also glad Ina Mora is back as well, because that just makes sense, right? SRS, Kieran asks, have you heard why there doesn't seem to be much of a card yet for Grand Slam Mexico? Have you heard if AEW have interest in either La Catalina, or I'm not going to try to pronounce, Persephone, both worked ROH recently. So La Catalina is a person that I have always looked on favorably, has WWE experience, has US television experience, is only 25, so you know, an incredible future ahead. They've been willing to put her on ROH and stuff like that. They actually put her, she's on ROH quite a bit. So she worked Lady Frost, Athena, Taya, who else? Red Velvet. They put her in like title matches and stuff. And also, I don't know if you all know this, they put her on the posters for local advertising, that thing I mentioned where they go, oh, come and watch Lucha Libre. And it'll be like La Catalina and Lady Frost on the poster, because that is going to draw a different fan, different demographic than just, we got AEW wrestling, put some Lucha stars on there and help them fill out some of the arenas and stuff. And that's what they've been doing, and it's worked pretty well. I've heard nothing but good things about Catalina. She's been a semi-regular for the last like 4 months, I think. But I don't know about why the card hasn't come together quick. I just know that they're focused on, the arena sold out. So what you do now is you build it up as a big TV show, but you got to get through your other TV shows first. And that's these two big 4-hour blocks. Ilya returning on Monday. Now, listen, all due respect to all the Ilya fans and all that stuff, I just want to say this. I hope so. I absolutely hope so. But there's a lot of unfair assumptions about the recovery time of a torn ACL. Even WWE will put, 6 to 9 months. And I'm like, man, that's optimistic. Usually it's a year. Now, Ilya Dragunov is an absolute freak of nature, so maybe it'll be different for him. But as of now, he has been out basically 9 months from an ACL injury. I would put that closer to September or October, but I hope he is back next week. Do you have King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring predictions? Let me pull up the brackets here. I think Sammy could get there. Absolutely think Sammy could end up in the finals, and who would he be against? Ooh. I wonder how the Fatal 4-Way will go with Rhodes and Priest in it. Because you could very well see Andrade pinning Nakamura right there, right? I think it'll be Sammy against like Rusev or Bronson Reed, and then Sammy will win and get that shot. On the women's side, Jade Cargill makes an awful lot of sense to me. That one makes an awful lot of sense to me. Feel like Jade or Vicky Erwin, Queen of the Ring, both make sense. Yeah, I think Jade exudes Queen. As Nicholas says, who do you think wins King and Queen of the Ring? What do you think the Evolution card is? Listen, guessing the Evolution card is not exactly easy. It's going to be completely off. But I want a lot of NXT integration as well. Like, give me something like Asuka and Kairi Sane against another good tag team. Give me Jordan Grace against like Rhea Ripley. Give me Bianca Belair versus Charlotte Flair again. Give me something big like that. Stephanie against somebody, again, another name worth facing. Stephanie and Charlotte, even. Like, throw a lot of those things at the wall and give you really big ones. And whatever legends you can find that can participate in that as well. Any plans for EO since Liv appears to be there with Nikki? I think that, you know what? If they go Asuka and EO, that would be also very cool. I would really, really like that. I would enjoy that one. How likely is it SmackDown goes back to 2 hours? Man, from your lips to WWE and TKO's ears, I hope, because Jesus Christ, man. These 3 hour ones. I'm going Friday. Got to see Cena for the last time in Kentucky. He was a Kentucky boy for a little while, so I'm going to go see that. But they're a drag, man. It would make a lot of sense for me if they kept it 3 hours at least through SummerSlam, since they're building two nights. I spoke to somebody in the company that thought it was going to go back to 2 hours, but like nothing definitive there. Since Tetchacero is officially in the DCF, does he have a dual contract between CMLL and AEW? I don't think that he does. And wasn't he booked against them anyway? But I haven't heard of him being signed. I'll you know what? I can put in an inquiry really quick. As Kim says, just a note to say we love you and keep it up. Thank you, Kim. Hope you and Bo are doing good. I can say with about, let's see, 63% certainty that he doesn't have a full-on AEW contract. 63% certainty. Listen, my 63% is more accurate than a lot of people's 95, but I'll say 63%. Any update on Brooks Jensen? I immediately asked about him and wasn't given an answer. I mean, listen, last year he did the thing where he worked his own angle and all that. It honestly wouldn't surprise me to see him working in like Noah or something like that. But it was a very strange way to write him off, right? Like, it was very, very odd. I didn't quite understand it. But maybe there's a little bit of something. And there hasn't been like a lot of juice put behind him to where it'd be like, oh, yeah, well, he's been wrong so much, and then he'll come back. It was just like, bam, there you go, he's out. And I was like, huh? What? All right, then. Josh Morgan, thank you so much for this generous super chat. Josh, do you have Do you have a question that you want me to answer? Listen, if for some reason, like maybe you weren't able to ask a question or you just didn't know how the super chat function worked, just hit me up or Luis or anybody and drop me a question, no matter what the show is, just give me one and I will be happy to answer it or talk about your point. Sami Zayn versus Cross, King of the Ring final. Do y'all really think that they would put Cross in the question mark spot? It'd be cool. I would love it if they did. I just don't think they're gonna. In fact, I have theorized that they are gonna do, or that they've been having him on main event to kind of lower his pops later on in the night. Really looking forward to Swerve Ospreay tonight. I think they're gonna take up a big chunk of time. I think like maybe 20% of that 4 hours is taken up by Swerve, Ospreay, the entrances, the match, post-match, all that. A good 20% of that 4 hours. So not probably about maybe 40, 45 minutes altogether. I'm looking forward to it. I will be appearing at the top of the post show tonight. I have a meeting to get to tomorrow morning, but I will be sharing my thoughts on some things at the top of the show. And then on FightfulSelect.com for subscribers this week, I will have an additional post show for you guys. Someone mentioned to me Stephanie Vecchier would skip Saudi because of how they treat women, given her past with her ex-boyfriend. I have heard nothing indicating that she isn't going to do the Saudi show if asked. I just haven't been given that information. I know the Sheeta visa things are out, but what are the other times? What about the other times when she does a visa? What do you mean? I'm curious here. Like, the situation around visa renewals is a lot of times when you're getting that done, you cannot work actively. So you got to make sure that everything's good to go because you don't want somebody to get deported, especially in this landscape. You can't get somebody deported just by not being sure and not being, you know, on the up and up. And she lives in Orlando generally, but Kenny's been taking care of her cats, she says, which is great. I'm sure Triple H has a say in talent releases. Who is the primary voice there? Still confused at the truth situation. It is a combination of very higher-ups, talent relations, and Triple H's input as it relates to creative future in there. I will learn more about this release process because I got to be real. Back in the day, it was a Johnny Ace and Vince call. Maybe sometimes Mark Carano would help contribute to that. But now there's a lot more moving parts there. Triple H certainly got a lot of the blame as associated with that because of the creative elements. And I mean, the reality is they're not going to release somebody who is in the middle of a big storyline, but it's clear that they will release people that are involved in stuff creatively because like Gallus was it Evolve or something? And they were on there for weeks after they got released. And then there was Indy Hartwell, who was on there afterwards as well. But Triple H does have a big say in it. Nick Khan seems like someone who's gotten WWE out of trouble a lot. If you take him out of WWE equation, where is WWE today? So I want to be pretty clear. Everybody thought that for years, probably because he positioned himself to believe that, people to believe that, that if you pulled the Vince McMahon piece out, then the whole Jenga would fall down, right? And that just wasn't the case, to the point to where he retired and was like, they'll see. And then they immediately became better, more profitable, more creatively satisfying, and fans were more excited. And then he tried to bull rush his way back in. Nick Khan has been a very, very valuable piece for WWE as far as monetization, making deals, connecting. He is a very, very smart man and one of the best businessmen that have ever been associated with pro wrestling, period. He is also very cutthroat and knows what he's doing, very smart about that stuff. He is very savvy. He's very media savvy as well. I mean, he repped Ariel Helwani, who knows that line of work better than anybody. So where is WWE today? I think they would try to find their next Nick Khan. And I do think that one day Nick Khan will find his next thing to conquer. I don't know what that might be, but he's doing a really, really great job right now. BL says, how do you decide which PLE pay-per-view to travel to? Well, there are a lot of factors. So I'll give you an example of why I went to the ones I've went to the last year or so. So let me pull up my travel. As Lonnie Barker, thank you so much. But I will be going to WrestleCade later this year. I go there because WrestleCade is just wonderful to me. Tracy Myers and the team at WrestleCade and Squared Circle Expo are always so good to me. Squared Circle Expo is a drive to Indianapolis, so not that expensive. WrestleCade is more expensive, but they give me a table to interview talent, and I promote the hell out of WrestleCade. I truly love it. I go there instead of Survivor Series every year because I know I'm also going to get like 10, 11 interviews there, and it's going to help me for the next 2 months when the weather's cold and I don't feel like traveling as much. So I go there. Mainly, it's a content thing. I'm going to Toronto, AEW All Out weekend. If an event is in Toronto, there's a solid chance I'm going to go because I love the city. It's a second home for me. So I go there to enjoy it. This weekend, I'm going to SmackDown. It's 3 miles from my house. That's why I'm going there. SummerSlam, New York City. I will be there, but I probably won't stay for the event. So what I like to do is go in, do the media for the days prior, and then I leave the day of the show or the night before. So that helps me get interviews, do community events, network with some people, see some of my friends. But covering a WWE show at a WWE event isn't always the best. And it can be like this at AEW stadium shows as well. Those press seats are not great seats. They are designed for Major League Baseball games, football games, all that type of stuff, which are, you know, 400-foot baseball fields, 120-yard football fields with the end zones, as opposed to a 20 by 20 or 18 by 18 ring. So with Dallas, I know that StarCast is there, so I'm going to go to that show. With New York, there's a WrestleCon there. I'm going to go there. I'm going to try to get some content and all that stuff. We rarely make money back on those, but I can monetize that in a lot of different ways. If I get a short interview with somebody, I am going to, one, get a video and audio interview out of it. I'm going to put it up early access for select subscribers. I'm going to have the notes as a part of some of our select updates. Then we will release the interview. Then what we'll do is make shorts of it. And then whenever something important happens, like this week, I'll have Rob Wilkins release some of our R-Truth clips. So it's a matter of how I can monetize it and hoping that eventually, one, our audience will like it, and two, that it will be a thing that does pay off down the road. Now, let's go through a couple more examples. Which show did I have? So I didn't go to WrestleMania week. The reason I didn't go to WrestleMania week is because during Mania week, I would have had to have driven to Louisville. That's about an hour 10. Get on a 5-hour flight to Vegas without Wi-Fi. Fly back the day of Mania. Again, 5 hours, no Wi-Fi. Drive back. Me without Wi-Fi during Mania week for 12 hours is not really conducive to producing a great viewer experience for our subscribers. So I didn't go to that. We had Joel Pearl go there. Also, yes, John Alba did say, he didn't say my life from a foul ball, but we were walking down the street in Jacksonville and we hear crack. We're walking into a bar to eat and John Alba reaches up and goes, ksh, and bare hand catches a baseball that got fouled out of baseball stadium. Oh my God. Some people might say, Sean, well, why don't you stay for a lot of the events? Some of them I do. If I feel like Elimination Chamber, there's a good one. I stayed for that show because I knew that the presser would yield very, very good numbers for us, even though WWE always streams it. There's not a great need for me to go to the pressers anymore because WWE and AEW stream them themselves. So unless there's something that I can get there that's going to do us really well, I'm just going to go home. Plus, what's the point in asking a question these days? I can get a question to those people pretty well whenever I want to, within reason. So that's some of the ins and outs as to why. Then there will be some events where I'm like, I just kind of want to travel there. Like, one day I'll go to a Seattle show because I want to go there. I'll go to a Miami show because I want to go there because I've never been. But if Nick Khan and Triple H step down today, who are each of their most likely successors? Maybe Brian Gewirtz for Triple H. And if Nick Khan stepped down, I don't have a good answer for that. I don't have a good answer for that one. It's probably somebody that we don't know. Probably a name that we don't know. They must have been happy with Jeremy Borash doing Worlds Collide. He got a lot of great reaction. Jeremy Borash. I'll plug this here as well. Go watch Forever Hardcore. It is on YouTube at this point. I sure hope that he has copyright claimed it, but alongside the WWE's ECW or Rise and Fall of ECW documentary, Jeremy Borash went out and interviewed like all the top people that weren't interviewed for that and did the Forever Hardcore documentary, which is really good. Lonnie Barker, thank you so much. He says, after Dom posted that pic at Eddie's graves, made me think of how great it would be when he turns babyface to start doing all the shenanigans Eddie did, especially since he is not as big as Eddie was. Thoughts? Lonnie, I am so glad you asked this. So glad that you asked this, because I am very passionate about this. So, one of our subjects here is Blake Monroe a timeless Tony Storm ripoff? I don't think so. Again, Sabrina Carpenter inspired. If Mariah May, Blake Monroe did the same stuff Tony Storm did, it would not work. People would be like, what? We're not dumb. What's going on here? When the Ascension came out and they made them Road Warrior ripoffs, but didn't ever put them over, it did not work. Very rarely does it work. I would love some examples in the chat of someone who was a clear ripoff that worked. Demolition was. What? No matter what they try to say, we were more technical wrestling. They were a Legion of Doom ripoff, and they worked. It was phenomenal. The Rockers were very clearly inspired by Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express. But that was in the 80s, in the territory era. But in the last, 20 years, when has it worked? Karrion Kross certainly has some Sean O'Hare inspiration. However, if there is one person who can outright steal a gimmick and make it good, it is Dominic Mysterio stealing the Eddie Guerrero gimmick as a babyface and having the ability to get over by cheating because he is physically smaller in stature. Eddie Guerrero, even though he's a little bit shorter, he was still jacked, dude. Like, a lot of people don't understand how big he was. But with Dominic, like, the physical elements of it, he can play that up. Plus, he's such a funny guy, man. He is a hilarious dude. So I look at that and I'm like, not only could he get away with it, people would love it. Like, if he pulled off the Eddie Guerrero on Finn Balor to retain his title, people would dig it. It would be a very satisfying DQ finish. And I think that would be a wonderful gimmick and an ode to Eddie Guerrero. Lonnie, I am so glad that you are on board with this. This has been a horn that I've been tooting for quite a while. And I just think that it's a lovely idea, and one, it is tried and true, right? I constantly say, when people go, oh my God, there's not that many storyline opportunities for the women, take some of the stuff that worked for the men in the 90s and 2000s and then apply it to women. Because with a gender change, it can be a completely different storyline. With this, you can just take it. You can just take it. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. The fact that we get Ospreay Swerve free on TV. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, listen, we got a world title change on Raw this week. I liked it an awful lot. We get Ospreay Swerve free on TV. we got a free Worlds Collide YouTube show that did incredible numbers for WWE. It's been a good week to be a wrestling fan. Oh, man, the Danhausen news. FightfulSelect.com. Please subscribe. $5.99 a month. Reported that Danhausen's contract is up with AEW next month. Misfit says, saw your Danhausen AEW update. What about his A&W contract? Let me tell you all a funny story about that. So,
oh, man, let me grab it. Where is it? Damn it. Can't find it. Ah, here we go. So, I moved to Lexington, Kentucky 3 years ago.
Nothing's made me happier. I love Lexington, Kentucky. It's where I've always been meant to be. I was so excited. For some reason, when I moved here, there was an A&W, and I just had an insane craving for root beer in a good frosty mug, right? And A&W makes a great zero-calorie root beer. They're not paying me. They just make a good one. And I bought one of their mugs, but there was an A&W near me, and it shut down the week that I moved here. And I was so sad. I messaged them on Twitter, and I was like, man, I'm so bummed about this. So bummed that you all are shutting down. I got to go across town to get it. And also, I know that you're aware of Danhausen, and I always think, A&W? They sent me coupons and an A&W bear that has sat in my merch closet. sat in my merch closet for years. Meet Norma says, here's a small sack of monies for a Danhausen update. He moves merch and seems to be well-liked. Why isn't he factored into the creative? There was a thing last year where I knew they took issue with some miscommunication regarding his availability or preferred availability. Like, he had a family thing that I won't get into. And then they're like, oh, but look, now he's taking indies and all that. And I believe it was a miscommunication. He is well-liked there. He popped up at Final Battle. It seemed like they were going to use him more. I had heard that he reached out like, hey, y'all going to use me? What's going on? And they're just like, no. But if you're him, here's how you look at it. You're still able to do indies, but you got to clear them with AEW. You're making money off your AEW contract, but you're limited in the merch that you can produce because of the deal that you have there. But you're still getting paid to continue to do the things that you're doing. But, like, let's put this in perspective. We are in the first week of June, and he has only wrestled 16 matches on the indies. Let's just say, let's look at the last year, because he had a busier year last year. About 60-ish matches on the indies. He was one of the most booked people on the indies years and years ago. Last year was a very busy year for him because he was just like, to hell with it, I'll just work the indies. He worked 10 matches in 2023, 17 in 2022. They have benched this man. They have completely benched him. Find something to do. Find something for him to do. But now he'll be able to take bookings at his own leisure. He'll be able to merchandise and do whatever deals he wants to do. I'm sure he would prefer like AEW just use him and they have a working relationship, but yeah. K775 says, considering significant NXT changes, call-ups, release, have you heard if NXT has their eyes on any fresh unknown names like Lainey Reed last night? I've got an inquiry out for a confirmation on one. And I can't say too much because people will run with it about that. But I'll say this. Yes, they do. They absolutely do have their name on people or eye on people who have been like LFG, Evolve, even AAA. Mr. Iguana was legitimately one of them. I know that right now he's the cool meme guy, but like they loved it. And they put over how professional he was and how he was like, want me to take pictures? Want me to do these videos? You want me to wrestle? You want me to do these photo shoots? You want me to do all this stuff? Hell yeah, I'll do it. Want me at Worlds Collide? I'm there. Want me at Money in the Bank? I'm there. NXT? I'm there. Like, they were putting over how much of a pro he was, and they're going to find out which of these AAA talent really, really worked for the American base. Now, for me, I'm just pumped. If there's one thing that I'm happy that competition has created, was the understanding that Lucha Libre, even though not all of it is for me, it's for a lot of people, and a lot of people love it. And it's going to become more respected within the United States, especially when you have both sides playing against each other. You're not going to see as many WWE fans be like, oh, that flippy Lucha Libre shit. They're gonna force themselves to like it. You're not going to see AEW people be like, man, Lucha sucks because WWE's... You're not going to see that either. Not going to see that. What you're going to see more of is people like coming to like it, and I think that's the best part of competition. As far as the NXT element, you're going to see a lot of those AAA talent pop up there. Do you know when Statlander's contract is up? Let me check my notes. It'd be hard for me to believe she doesn't still have quite a bit of time on it, but I'm going to ask that because I know that she's missed some time due to injury. I'm going to put that in my notes right now as a check on it thing. Sean, if you had to guess when his contract comes due, does Cross leave WWE or end up coming to an agreement? I think they'll come to an agreement. I think they should. I mean, it won't be to the level of R-Truth by any means, but Cross is a well-liked guy who got himself over, who showed that he could do things that would, you know, excite the fan base and change his perception from a lot of people. And I don't think that can be ignored. I don't think that can be ignored. Absolutely not. I think they'll come to an agreement, though, even though they have not approached him, as reported by FightfulSelect.com. Now, I want to say about that NXT one, I'm going to work on that and see if I can report something pretty soon. Go over to FightfulSelect.com. We're going to have some interesting news throughout this week. Very excited about it. How about some former wrestlers doing some TV stuff? We'll rock with some of that today. A very, very interesting TV project that might end up affecting some other people. Guys, until next time. We're out.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.